Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440. Hey, this is Coach Cimarroni, Blood Time Podcast, and I have somebody from the New England area in New Hampshire, Robert Powell, but he's a Sherrin Falls area guy. How you doing, Robert?
Doing well today. How are you guys out there?
Real good.
Yeah, quick background of wrestling. So I wrestled out in Sherrin Falls at Kenston High School.
Sure.
Wrestled under Coach Larry Klimkowski for my first 3 years.
Right.
And then when Brian Malloy took over in 2008, senior, wrestled for him for a year. After high school, you know, I wasn't a big wrestler after high school. I was always a football first kind of guy.
Right.
I went out to Ingham University to play football, and I was out there my freshman year. My defensive line coach was Joe Montgomery, the head wrestling coach at Muskingum at the time.
Sure.
He was the son of Hall of Famer from Mountain Union.
Okay.
Don Montgomery.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, went out there. He talked me into wrestling during football practice. He goes, you know, I know you wrestled in college, or I know you wrestled in high school. You think about wrestling in college, you know, I think you should give it a shot.
Right.
Ended up wrestling a year there. That freshman year, I wrestled a year at heavyweight. You know, I was a big old football player, about 260.
Right.
You know, he talked me into, hey, if you know, you want to just go full-time with wrestling, probably not play football anymore. You know, it'd be best for you to drop down to like 97 or 74. And yeah,
74, year, that's a pure wrestling cone. 74 from 260, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so my freshman year of college, I made the decision that I was going to go full-time wrestling.
Okay.
Took that whole summer. Came back to Chagrin that summer of 2010.
Yeah.
And I lifted, I ran, I was wrestling, going to open mats out in Solon. I did a couple open tournaments and just getting myself, you know, into wrestling shape. Wow. That was really the first summer of my life where I was a full-time wrestler, and came back that year, wrestled at 97, worked my way into 84 in that sophomore year, and then finished out my last 2 years at 74.
That is fantastic. That's a great story. Yes. So Montgomery is one of your, like, blood time moments. He just completely transformed you.
Yeah, it was wild. It was one of those moments where I see as a coach where you ever talk to kids and you tell them some advice and they just kind of don't listen to you.
Yeah.
And years later and they realize it.
Right.
Well, when I was in high school, Coach Clem and then our heavyweight coach at the time, Coach Benedict, would always tell me, like, hey, you know, you're 5'6". Like, you don't have a living at defensive line. You're not going too far with football.
Right.
You should be wrestling like 70 or something. But, you know, I was always the play football at 240, 230, and then cut down, wrestle 215 in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always look back and say, well, if I'd have just done what Coach Benedict told me to do 5 years earlier, you know, my career path would have been a little bit different.
It's amazing how many times we talk to people as coaches out into the real world, and they'll either say, I wish I continued to wrestle, or I wish I would have listened to my coach, or both. And it's amazing how many guys I meet out in the business world that just say that. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's one of those, there's a meme out there that, you know, if things don't go the way you expect it, try doing what your coach told you to do the first time. You know? And that's how it goes.
It really
those
does.
Those guys at Kenton were real instrumental in me, you know, changing as a wrestler and getting more time.
Sure.
When I was in college, those summers, I would go back, I'd work out at Elite Fitness out there in Chagrin Falls.
Yeah.
Which was owned by the Voinoviches.
Right.
And then when Malloy was the head coach, I'd go out and I'd wrestle with all the kids and, you know, a lot of training with those guys. And Coach Murphy over at Kenton helped me out a lot. And it was, you know, I tell a lot of guys now, I was like, I wasn't a full-time wrestler until I was almost 21 years old.
That's
wild.
And
I'm 29 now, so
yeah.
I've only been in the full-time for 8 years now.
Well, you know, you have a rich tradition of wrestling at Kenston. I mean, the home of the Bombers is you know, quite rich from the DiGiovannis to today with Ricky Dubell over there. And then, of course, you got a great, recently particularly, a great football program. So, you know, it's hard to say that you didn't have great coaching surrounding you when you were there, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, we had great coaches there. Coach Rovtar was still, he was kind of coming out of coaching at the time when I was in high school, but
sure.
You know, Manning was the head coach right before Clem, so.
Right,
Manning
Tom,
took
yeah.
They were third in the state my seventh grade year, right before he stepped down as the head coach.
Sure.
Coached all through Ricky years. And then, you know, during my high school year, Ricky, guys like Mike Sanidi, Anton Narensky, Bob Fenner, a lot of guys that placed at the state tournament. Joey Valvota was a state runner-up for us. Would come back in the room and wrestle with us. So
that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Absolutely.
Having those alumni guys that came back, and that's what I did when I was in college, you know, getting a chance to go back, work with Coach Malloy, work with the kids that were, you know, in the program at the time.
That's always the most fun day, that Friday after Thanksgiving, right? To go back.
Yeah, when all the alumni come in and they just, you know, that's always the worst day. You know, they come in, they beat on you, but it makes you better. It makes you tougher.
It does. It does.
I coached out there for a year, Ricky's first year back in 2016.
Okay.
I stepped down from a head coaching position out at Willard, Ohio.
Okay.
And at that time, Malloy was leaving Kenston, and Ricky was coming back as the head coach. And,
right.
You know, I wanted to get away from being a full-time head coach, just wanted to be an assistant and just spend time in the room wrestling.
Right.
I reached out to Ricky, said, yeah, come be on my staff, work with my heavyweights, my upper weights. Yeah, I spent the year at Kenston and spent some time at Brunswick helping out down there. And it was It was a fun year, and I loved coaching. I love coaching at the high school level, just working with those guys and helping them build a love for wrestling.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's so important. And now you're doing it at the collegiate level. Tell a little bit about the transition there and how you ended up in New England College.
Yeah, so it was a pretty strange transition. I mean, I'd moved around a lot. After I left Muskingum, I went on to be the head coach at Willard back in 2014.
Okay.
So I was there for 2 years, and I just decided, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of teaching. I mean, I love education. I'm working towards getting another degree in education.
Okay.
I just felt I wanted to be in a college room. I could have a little bit more of an impact on wrestlers at the college level.
Right.
So I sought out to be a graduate assistant and get a college coaching job.
Okay.
And put all my eggs in one basket. So in the summer of 2016, I left Willard and I said, hey, you don't want to be a college coach? I'm going to take any, you know, paid high school positions or any teaching positions. I'm going to sub for a year. So I coached out of Kenston that year. And then in the fall of 2017, I almost gave up on the coaching search. And I ended up getting the job here at New England College as a graduate assistant.
Okay.
To help build this program.
Awesome.
So they were in their second year. So they're bringing in their first recruiting class that year.
Okay.
Seven guys the year before, and it was a program where I'm like, you know, as a GA, I get to learn with guys that are building a program.
Right.
So now I, you know, work with that, you know, have that background of helping build a program.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 2 years out here as an assistant. We had a pretty successful 2 years. We coached a 2-time national qualifier. We coached a regional champion. We had 3 guys that were academic All-Americans. We coached 6 regional placers. We won a couple matches at the national tournament, which was really great.
Yeah.
And then last summer in 2019, I finished my GA internship, and I took the job as the head coach at Iowa Wesleyan University.
Wow. Okay.
I was there as the head coach for about 6 months. It was a brand new program, building from the ground up, girls wrestling, guys wrestling, working on building a wrestling facility. And, you know, I spent the 6 months I was out in Iowa, I traveled across the country just recruiting.
Sure, you have to. Yeah.
I went to about 12 different states just to, you know, find guys and girls that were interested in helping me build the program.
Wow.
And, you know, being on that forefront of the building blocks of a wrestling program is something really special, because you can truly mold, you know, what this program will be and put your own stamp on it.
Yep. No question about it. And that's the beauty of that. But how did it end up where you left Iowa?
Yeah. So that was an even stranger transition, because it was right in the middle of when COVID hit. So
oh, wow.
March of this year. feels like it was so long ago, but it was March of this year. The head coach here at New England College, he's a captain in the Air Force. He had been deployed to Afghanistan.
Wow.
This was his third deployment in 4 years. So in 4 years of our program, we had never had a head coach that was around for more than 6 months at a time because he was always gone for the deployments.
Sure. Wow.
So when he deploys, they start a coaching search. I wasn't throwing my name in the hat. I was like, I'm here. Like, I get a chance to build my own program from the ground up. But I started talking to some friends and some family, and the AD from NEC reaches out to me, and it just like, I was here for 2 years. I helped build this program. I coached the senior class when they were freshmen and sophomores. I recruited the junior class and coached them. I recruited the sophomores and I didn't coach them as freshmen.
Right.
So the pieces just fell in line where it goes, if you're going to hire a coach in the middle of a COVID year where, this summer I couldn't get on the road recruiting.
Yes.
I couldn't have too many kids come on campus. And as a first time coach, you have to build that relationship with your team.
Right.
So I already had that relationship built with NEC and I applied for the job. The athletic director offered it to me and, I took it instantly just because I knew that, there's so much growth that's available here at New England College in Henniker. It's, we've got a great setup. We've got a great place where guys can be successful very fast right. in our system and in our program.
And you're D2 or 3 there?
We're Division 3.
That's what I thought.
We're Division 3. We've had a little bit of success over these past couple of years.
Sure.
Last year while I was with the program, they had their first All-American.
Okay.
And our 149 founder, Evan Fidelibus, who finished this year second in pinfalls in Division 3, and he's ranked in number 4 in the nation right now. And we've got a couple other guys that we brought in and some returners that are looking to have a good season this year, depending on what the NCAA says happens with COVID. So
right,
I think
what's going
to have a very successful year.
Where are you guys located exactly? Well, near what city are you located?
So Henniker, New Hampshire, we're about south central. We're about an hour north of Boston.
Okay. So where are you recruiting mostly from?
So recruiting, we recruit the New England states heavily because, you got to win your home ground in the recruiting wars. But primarily our big recruiting venues are Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
We're about 5 hours from, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. We're 5 hours from the Lehigh Valley area. We're about 4 hours north of New York City. We're about 6 hours from Atlantic City, where they hold the New Jersey State Tournament.
Yep.
So we're about a 5 to 6 hour drive from, three of the toughest states in the nation for wrestling.
Yeah, New Jersey, it's got some good guys coming out of there.
That's where we do a lot of our recruiting at, and I think it does really well for us. We've had a lot of guys that can see, you can come out here to a Division III school that, can put some guys on the map and do pretty well. And, I feel like a lot of our guys find a great home here.
And
we talked earlier, Henniker is a lot like Chagrin Falls.
What's that?
Henniker is a lot like Chagrin Falls, where it's a nice small town area.
Right.
But whether you're from the big city or you're from the small town, you can feel comfortable here.
That's
and
awesome.
I think that's what our recruits find.
That's awesome. And so, Robert, you're about, 8 or 9 hours away from Cleveland, right?
If you go right across Route 90 across New York and Buffalo, it's about 9.5 hours.
Yeah, because
I usually take the scenic route, which is like 12 hours or so, where I go down through Pennsylvania and make some stops at like some tournaments, high schools on my way across. And
sure.
Yeah, it's about a 9.5 hour drive.
Yeah, because I went up to Montreal with my family. We drove to Montreal, and it was about 10 and a half hours. So, but it was a beautiful drive. I mean, it's stunning, particularly in the fall. Holy cow. That is gorgeous.
Oh, definitely. When those leaves start changing, it looks beautiful out here. The drive's not too bad. I don't get too many guys to recruit out of Ohio.
Okay.
I'd like to, just because I, being an Ohio guy, I feel like I can connect with some of those kids. But there's so much Division III wrestling and so much college wrestling in the state of Ohio, it's hard to get those kids out.
Yeah, I mean, I've had Josh Malave on from Mount Union. I've had Daniel Song from Case Western. I've had Mark Haywall from John Carroll University. Sonny Marchetti, D2, over at Notre Dame College. So, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity just in literally, an hour from where I sit right now doing this interview in University Heights, Ohio, to wrestle at a pretty good program. But still, you know, people still want to do things that are a little different, right?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. If you want to get out, if you want to see the world, or not even the world, if you just want to see, you know, other parts of the country, you got to get out and travel. And you can still travel across the state of Ohio and see something different.
No question.
Me going down to New Concord, Ohio for 5 years was a complete change of speed from, you know, living in the Chagrin Falls, Solon area.
No doubt. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's a beautiful area of the country. And so tell me what, you know, are you meeting? The thing about Blood Time, Robert, is that we really look at who has affected us. And you've mentioned Montgomery and a lot of Malloy and a lot of the coaches, you know, really a who's who of coaches. Is there been any one moment that, you know, besides the Montgomery saying, hey, come wrestle, that really inspired you to be the coach you are today?
If I had to say the one moment that really, really inspired me, it all falls back to Coach Larry Klimkowski.
Okay.
He had a high school coach. I wasn't the greatest wrestler in high school. I got in a lot of trouble in school. He always gave me second chances.
Right.
And I remember it was my junior year. It was my junior year of high school. I had like an end of the year meeting with Coach Klimkowski, and the number one thing he said to me, he goes, you're one of the hardest working people I've ever met. And if you take the time to put your efforts and your brain into something productive, no one can stop you from being successful.
Wow.
It's like one of the things he told me, because most people that know me is like, I'm always kind of here. Like, I'm recruiting, you know, I'm trying to help build a women's program here at the school too. We're talking about that.
Sure.
I'm working on other organizations within, I'm always doing a bunch of things. And I just put so much effort into things, but he really like tried to get me to instill that if you put your efforts and time into, you know, being successful at something, no one can stop you because you work that hard.
That's fantastic.
Where we're getting that as a junior in high school. You know, he was at the time telling me like, hey, you probably shouldn't play football anymore and just focus solely on wrestling and you can be well. And then, you know, 5 years later at 21, I decided I'm going to put all my efforts into wrestling, and now look.
Yes, and I want to explore that more. We're going to take a quick break and thank our sponsors, because they keep us on the air. So we'll be right back with Robert Powell, the head coach at New England College, after these words.
Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com. In the midst of our current health crisis, we at Blood Time want to thank Guy and Gus Seiko and the team at Defense Soap as a beacon of our protection. Body wipes, skin cleansers, bars of soap, shower gels, and disinfectant tablets. All this and more, as Defense Soap is on the front line of our protection. Thanks to the Seiko family and their team at Defense Soap. Check them out for all your protection needs during these precarious times. Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com.
And we're back with Robert Powell, the head coach of New England College. He was exploring how he was motivated to singularly not only control his efforts and focus his efforts on wrestling only, but also to be effective and successful in doing so, not only himself, but also in the coaching rank. And so I want to explore that with you, Robert. How are you taking that lesson, that DNA from that? Was it Klimkowski, the coach?
Yeah,
and bring it into your room and to your philosophy of wrestling. And what does that look like at New England College?
Yeah, in my philosophy as a coach, the way I put that into my guys is just to understand, giving 100%.
Right.
You know, it's understanding that every asset, every facet of life that you go through, if you're going to do it, you have to work your hardest at it and give 100%. Whether that's taking a test in class or working in the wrestling room, whether it's working on doubles, singles. You know, we have guys that come in and they're a single shot. You know, they're a one-trick pony.
Right. We have
guys that they just want to throw. They don't want to take shots. And just understanding that you need to give 100% everything you do.
Right.
Put all your efforts into what you're doing at every aspect of wrestling, whether it's running sprints, whether it's, you know, lifting weights, whether we're working on top-bottom goes, or you're in the classroom, just knowing that when they come to college, I tell every guy that comes to wrestle for me that we are an academics first program.
Awesome. Love that.
That first year I was here at NEC, we had six guys make our 3.0 club with a 3.0 or higher.
That's great.
5 years later now as the head coach, we just had over 53% of our roster had a 3.0 or above with 17 guys. Eight of them were over 3.5, and five of them were 3.75 and higher.
That is serious success. Serious success. That's a wonderful news.
Yeah, that's one of the things is, like, you can't just come in to college and go, hey, I'm just going to wrestle, so, you know, I'm going to give 100% at wrestling. You got to give 100% at being a student. You got to give 100% at being a part of the campus community. You know, that's what's going to take you on in life, and then when you get jobs. You know, if you work in a business and, well, you're just the accountant, you can't just, well, I'm going to count. You have to help in other aspects of that business to show that you are an asset.
Right. Make yourself invaluable is always been my recommendation.
Make yourself irreplaceable.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, is I love what I'm hearing here because foundationally, that's one of the biggest things that I try to instill in the young men. We don't have any women wrestling for us at this time, but to be just good citizens, because good wrestling comes relatively easy if you have the foundation of hard work, loyalty, taking care of what you need to take care of, and doing the work. All you got to have is a little bit of a talent, and you put that together. I think that's what Klimkowski was saying to you, dude. You got all the work ethic. Just put a little focus and a little bit because you got the talent. And look what happened to you as an athlete and now as a coach. So
that was definitely my problem when I was a teenager. Just wasn't always focused on, you know, what was important at the time, you know. But now I'm focused on everything. I'm working on my program. I'm working with my AD to help. You know, I want to add a women's program in the next couple of years.
Awesome.
I just finished my master's and I've already applied and been accepted to a doctoral program that's probably not going to do this year, but you know, in years to come, I'm going to work towards that.
That's great. That's great.
Part of my coaching and recruiting philosophy that me and my staff have come up with is called the 4 for 40.
Okay.
So what we try to instill in every high school kid, whether you come to NEC or not, when you come here or anywhere you go, make sure you use the next 4 years of your life to set yourself up for success over the next 40 years. Yeah, we want guys coming in and being academic All-Americans. We want them having that 3.25 or higher GPA, winning 70% of their matches and placing at regionals, you know, because
you
might tell this to your high school kids, wrestling will help get you into college. You know, I didn't have great grades in high school. You know, coaches reached out to me for football, wrestling, you know, that'll get you into college. What you do as a wrestler will not get you out of college.
Well said.
And that's the most important thing is that 4 for 40. Just make sure everything that you're doing, you're developing yourself and you're making sure you're preparing yourself for the next, you know, the next steps of your life, always forward thinking.
Well, that's one of the biggest things that John Carroll really, focused on and supported, but also too kind of sold themselves on, is that the network of those graduates, they were successful. They're still successful. They're continuing to be successful. And they hire other John Carroll wrestlers. I hired 3 John Carroll wrestlers when I was working at a property and casualty insurance agency as the acting president. And I said, you know, I know these guys. I know where they come from. I know their DNA. I know how they're taught in the room. And so that, I got to believe, particularly with the centers of commerce in New York and Boston that surround you, have got to be a big selling point and also a big teaching point, if you will, in your room.
Definitely. It is. And we have, you know, we're so close to Boston and then getting into New York. We have guys that are leaving in business. You know, they can go find jobs.
Sure.
And that's important, have that alumni base.
Yep.
Especially me being a guy from Muskingum. I wrestled, I was in a fraternity there, and the fraternity that I was a part of, I believe we have 3 college head coaches right now. I believe there's 7 or 8 high school coaches in the state of Ohio. There's about, you know, 9 or 10 retired coaches, you know, that all wrestled in that small room at Muskingum.
Sure.
That all, you know, were part of that same fraternity. And us being a first, you know, I guess we're first generation program because this senior class now is our first recruiting class graduating.
That's awesome.
So making sure that I can set these guys up to be successful in 40 years. So in 5, 10 years, when they've gone on and started their own businesses, you know, hopefully I'm still here and I can send my next generation of wrestlers to go work for these guys, to have those connections. And that's really important. It's just, you know, because wrestlers make the best businessmen.
No doubt. Everyone knows that. They definitely can outwork.
And having that connection. And I've done some work. I've talked with, I don't know if you guys have followed the Black Wrestling Association.
I had Kerry McCoy on. And he just did a beautiful post about that. And then the interview that I'm going to be doing, the next interview after ours, is Kyvan Gadson.
Awesome. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I talked to Kerry about, you know, setting up networks, and that's what his organization's doing. Nate Jackson's the president. But setting up networks for black wrestlers, you know, to get jobs and work throughout a network. And I know you work with the Wrestlers and Business Association. And
yes. Yes, I was one of the founders back in 2009-10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's our goal as coaches, as leaders in the sport, to make sure that we're ever changing and setting the foundation for the next guys in the sport of wrestling to make sure that they can be successful. You know, it's my job to give to my wrestlers what Coach Malloy and Coach Clem and Coach Benedict and Coach Montgomery and Coach Fox have given to me and helped me do. And that's what's really important for me, and that's why I coach.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I love hearing that. And so, Robert, tell me if you have somebody, and I know that you're just, you know, starting the program there, but through your coaching career, is there anybody, and it doesn't have to be a superstar wrestler, but somebody that you just could say that you affected or your coaching staff affected and really transformed them into something special or at least something that was better than they thought that they could be. I've had a few of those happen to me, and they're just, they're really magnificent when you see what these young men and actually some women do out in the real world. It's just fascinating and just, it's really encouraging. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. In our coaching staff, we had some guys that hit their peaks, not necessarily their peaks as freshmen. We didn't have my first year here. We had one wrestler that came in and he didn't qualify for the state tournament when he was in high school. He graduated high school with, I believe, a little under a 2.3 GPA.
Wow.
And then in his freshman year, we were able to get him on the regional podium and get him an academic All-American plaque.
Wow.
And since that year, his career hasn't been what he hopes it's been. He hasn't placed at the regional tournament since. But, you know, the fact that we as a coaching staff could bring a guy from high school and really get him to obtain those goals in that first year and see that success. That was one of the proudest moments of mine as a coach.
Sure.
And I know the coaches on my staff, the head coach, John Archambault, who was here when I was a GA, you know, he's coached the national champion at Springfield College.
Okay.
Coach Gothier, who is the head assistant coach here, he was at Roger Williams for a year. And it was a 189-pounder. He was a 25 coach, but he's been a part of a team that's coached the national champion.
That's fantastic.
So they both have been a part of programs that in their room, there was a national champion in that room.
Sure.
And I haven't been a part of that program yet. My graduate assistant now, Austin Whitney, he wrestled out at Ithaca College, and they coached a couple national champions out there.
So oh, yes. Been in the room with yes.
Guys, and, you know, it's important for me to surround myself with coaches that have gone through the process and that have seen it.
Sure.
I've been in the college coaching game 4 years now.
Right.
And yeah, I've been to the national tournament two of those 4 years as a coach. You know, this year is the COVID year. Last year I was just recruiting, but, you know, I always say it pretty weird is I've never coached a season and not qualified for the national tournament.
I love that. That's a great, keep that up. That's what we want to hear.
That's kind of mentality that I have when
sure.
I go to recruit.
Sure.
I want to find guys that are academically successful, but I want to find guys that have that drive, that have a lot more to prove.
There's nothing like getting a guy there that, like, we both knew, man, you have no reason to be here, but, man, we just, through just heart and determination and a lot of love, we got together, we got there, and it's a really fantastic feeling.
And that's so great during the recruiting process, you know.
Yeah.
Most kids think, well, I haven't qualified for states, or I've qualified twice and I haven't placed, or
right.
You know, I took third once or twice and don't have much in them, or some don't feel that they've done enough. But us as a coach, we love those kids. You know,
absolutely.
I want that guy that's, you know, lost twice in the blood rounds. I want that guy that's, you know, in Jersey, you know, you take fourth in your region a couple of times, but you could still be the toughest wrestler in the nation.
Sure.
You know, I want those guys that have more to prove. because they come in and they work harder.
Yeah, hungry, and baby. They're hungry. Yeah, they want to eat.
As much as every coach wants to recruit a four-time state champion,
sure.
You know, some of those guys may have not seen as much adversity in their life.
Well, they're burned out, too. A lot of those guys get burned out. I've seen it happen over and over again. Absolutely.
A lot of them. And that's what we shoot for. We want those guys that aren't necessarily, like, project kids that we have to work on, but those kids that we know they want more for themselves. We know that we want to help them get more for themselves.
Yep.
And if they come into our program, I'm going to get better as a coach for coaching them. They're going to get better as an athlete for working with me, and we're all just going to grow and develop together as a team.
One of my chill moments was we had a young man at John Carroll University, I don't even believe he made the district tournament out of Michigan. His fifth year senior year, worked his tail off and took eighth in the country. And it was just, I mean, it was like winning the Super Bowl. It was fantastic. And so I could not agree with more with what you are doing there and that philosophy. And I applaud you for it, man. I really do. And
yeah, thanks. And I mean, there's so much that wrestling's done for me in my life, and I just want to help give that to others. You know, help them use wrestling as an avenue and as a vehicle to get more within your life. Because if you have the determination to, you know, kids aren't cutting weight like they used to back in the day, but right. Cut weight, stay determined. You know, going through college, not going out on Friday nights and Saturday nights, same thing in high school, getting your work done.
Yep.
Knowing that, you know, you got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but you can't eat because you got to make weight, and then go out there and go through a war.
Yes.
If you can do that constantly, there's nothing in this world that can stop you.
And you know, with anything. Absolutely. I love that so much. And I really loved our conversation, Robert. That point right there is absolutely brilliant. And As we conclude each interview during this season of the virus, we ask our guests to give some words of strength and encouragement to the audience. And if you would, I'm going to turn it over to you and be quiet.
Five words that are very important to me that I think everyone needs to hear are true relations and powerful purpose. If you live your days and your life and everything you do and the people you meet, you create true relationships, and you always try to have a powerful purpose, that you will be successful. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what's going on with inside you, just always believe in true relations and powerful purpose, and you will be successful.
That's poignant words. I love that. True relations and powerful purpose. Brilliant. Thank you, Robert Powell. Good luck at New England College. And don't be a stranger when you're in town. Come into the Chagrin Falls Tiger Room. I know that may be a little bit tough for you to do that with being a Kinston Bomber, but we'd love to have you come in. Definitely.
If I get home sometime this spring or in the summertime, I'll stop by. I'll get some wrestling in. Like I said, I'm always trying to get some Ohio kids out here and get them a part of this program.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to see you. Well, good luck up there. Stay strong. Stay safe. And thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on, and thanks for the opportunity to talk a little bit.
Yes, sir. Well, this is Coach Cimarroni. We are blood, love to all. Blood time. This is Coach Cimarroni. I trust you are well and about to emerge after this most challenging of years. In all that we have collectively been through, we can still find that silver lining. That said, it is my pleasure and honor to announce a rekindling and reconnection to my longtime and good friends at the Montrose Auto Group. Mike Thompson, Chris Mills, and the incredible staff at Montrose Westside have afforded me and Razor, my company, an opportunity to present the outstanding lineup of high-quality vehicles in their stable. Jaguars, Range Rovers, Volvos, and a bevy of high-quality pre-owned vehicles are and your disposal. I look forward to being of service to you and your family, friends, company, and associates at your request and direction. Let's get together soon to discover how we may be a solution to your driving requirements and desires. Thanks so much, and talk soon. This is Coach Cimarroni for the Montrose Auto Group's West Side Store.
Hi, this is David Dennis Mackey. You've just heard another episode of the Blood Time Podcast. Check out more at maverickpodcasting.com.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!